Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandin Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. All of us want to build strong relationships with the customer, beginning with the initial phone call. You and your employees' speech and words will convey an image to your customers about who the company is. Each conversation with a customer includes three parts: containment, qualifying, and correcting. When these three things are done properly, relationships will be built, which produces long-term profitable customers. Now, how do we do that? Well, that's what this presentation is all about. Steve Kasha is going to share some really practical ways to build relationships with your customers through your speech. Steve is president of Kasha Communications. He presents keynote speeches, conducts training seminars, and leads customer service skill workshops across the country. His best-selling book, The HVAC Customer Service Handbook, has been featured in numerous industry trade publications and is fast becoming the standard course book among trade technical colleges. Steve is also a columnist and has 20-plus years of training in the area of customer service. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some great tips on how to improve your speech to build relationships with your customers.
Welcome to my program on sales, service, and stress. This is Steve Kasha with a message that is designed to enable you to surface the latent potential within your organization. I have found that many organizations have potential just lying there, latent, not being used. So I urge you, if you're not driving in your car and you're in an office and you've got a pen and paper handy, take notes. Because if you take notes, 70% of what you hear can be retained and put to good use. If you fail to take notes, 70% of what you hear will be completely forgotten, and you won't get to use it at all. So let's begin by surfacing the latent potential within yourself and your ability to retain this information. I will tell numerous stories and anecdotes in the course of this program. Stories are a way that adults share information with each other so we can make something meaningful out of the intent in telling the anecdote or the story. So one story I like to tell begins with a dispatcher. She works for a plumbing, heating, and air conditioning company, and her name is Sherry. And the story begins like this. It was 9 a.m., and Sherry's computer screen was lit up like a Christmas tree. The temperature had already reached 80 degrees. At 9:45, Sherry received an emergency phone call from a maintenance man in an East Side apartment building complex. Three air conditioning units were out. Sherry looked at her computer screen to explore her options. She thought. John is on the East Side. He was on his way to a maintenance call. She quickly retrieved the customer's information and picked up her pen, jotted down a brief note to herself. She made sure that the words "help me" were included in this brief script she was going to use when she called the maintenance customer. She dialed the number, introduced herself, and this customer seemed pleasant. It was off to a good start. She and the customer, they agreed to reschedule the maintenance visit for a couple of hours later. Then she picked up the phone, called John's Nextel cell phone. "Hey, John, are you smiling?" "What now, Sherry?" John said, because he probably knew she was going to change his schedule. She sensed his good attitude, and she continued to convey the address of the East Side apartment building so John could fix the emergency. So there's a story about Sherry and something she did. Now let me tell a different story about Bill. Bill works for a supply house at a plumbing and heating company. Bill gets to work on a Thursday morning, and it's bright and sunny outside. He enters the office and goes right for the kitchen to get that first cup of coffee. You know those first cups of coffee in the morning that bring you that warm satisfaction? That's what Bill is looking for. He gets that first cup, he gets to his desk, he puts on his headset, and sure enough, his phone rings almost right away. Bill picks up the phone, and it's a customer he had sold a drum humidifier to just a few weeks ago. And this customer is not happy. The drum humidifier is leaking, and Bill tries to understand what the source of the problem might be. Bill qualifies that the customer's water probably has a high mineral content, and this is what might be causing the leak. He conveys this to the customer. The customer doesn't care about the high mineral content in his water. The customer just wants the leak fixed. And Bill makes a mistake, and he says, well, what do you want me to do about it? This causes the customer to go ballistic. The customer demands to speak to Bill's supervisor. And Bill escalates the call to the supervisor, leans back in his chair, and he says, it's going to be a horrible day. As his phone rings again, and he gets prepared to handle the next call. So there's two stories between Sherry and Bill. What was the key difference in their behavior? And your thoughts probably lean towards the fact that Sherry gave herself a little time to think about what she was going to do to resolve the emergency. Whereas Bill, while not meaning to imply any blame about the high mineral content in the customer's water, actually made things worse. And then he went and said, what do you want me to do about it? And that just drove the customer to be ballistic. So the biggest difference between Sherry and Bill was the pause. And that's spelt P-A-U-S-E. And you have learned, and perhaps I have too, that in the absence of a pause, sales professionals and service professionals make mistakes they wish they hadn't made. And we know that when we get upset, we will make the best speech we'll ever regret. And our objective is not to get there in the first place. Something else we learned in the story is that Sherry took enough time to pick up a pen and jot down a brief script. And she made sure the words "help me" were in that script, because what she wrote down on that piece of paper was this. The sentence was, "Hi, Mrs. Smith. Help me understand whether you have any flexibility in your schedule today." Now, that is a key tactical script, because those two words, "help me," they are two of the most therapeutic words in the sales and service profession. When you have a sentence that goes like this, "help me understand whether you have any flexibility in your schedule today," you are inviting the other person into a constructive interaction. And that invitation to be constructive keeps the playing field calm and rational so you can get things done. So the pause, knowing what she wanted to say and how she wanted to say it, enabled Sherry to rise above the fray and get the situation resolved without damaging the customer relationship. Now, who do you think that maintenance person is going to call the next time something goes wrong with an air conditioning or heating unit? Yes, he'll probably call Sherry's company. And that's the way good service impacts sales, with good customer retention. Contractors and distributors that understand the relationship between customer service and sales are on their way to differentiating themselves from their competition. And they demonstrate their ability to differentiate themselves from the competition with each and every interaction they have with external customers. For example, Sherry has gone through lots of training that her employer has invested in, and this investment in training enables this organization to continue to grow with more customer retention and lots more referrals due to the great work that they do. Her employer has learned that Sherry is the focal point of the organization, that when she handles a call and does a good job, in the customer's mind, the customer sees Sherry as the entire organization. And when she does a great job on the phone, after the customer hangs up the call, the customer thinks, wow, they're good over there. And they use the pronoun they, because Sherry speaks for the entire organization. To the contrary, in Bill's story, when that customer gets finished speaking with Bill's supervisor and hangs up the phone, the customer may say something like, what's going on over there? Those guys can't get anything right. Again, they use the pronoun they, because Bill, while he's a singular individual, he speaks for the entire organization. So customers will imagine lots about your contracting company or your distribution company based on the way each and every employee handles their interactions. So investment in training and telephone etiquette and good problem solving, they go a long way towards enabling you to get more customers and get more referrals so you can continue to grow. And perhaps one of the most key things that benefits organizations who invest in this type of tactical behavior are the benefits of the positive attitude. I have found that as attitude is more positive, aptitude is also more positive. That attitude and aptitude, they go hand in hand. Attitude is the way you feel. Aptitude is your natural ability. And when an employee believes that their employer is investing in them with this training, they feel better. They have more control. They're more capable. And their attitude makes them feel good. When their attitude is up, so is their aptitude. Their ability to get things done is also up. And these two things, they go hand in hand. And as the aptitude drives them towards better behaviors, some of those behaviors manifest themselves in some pretty subtle ways. For example, some of the things that Sherry has also learned to do over the telephone is she has learned to use the words, may I, instead of can I, when she's working with customers. Because Sherry has learned that her voice says five things about her. And the five things are, number one, health, number two, intellect, number three, education, number four, assertiveness, and number five, ability to get things done. I'll say them again. Health, intellect, education, assertiveness, and ability to get things done. Sherry has learned that the vocal image she conveys over the phone is powerful because the customers can't see her because they're over the phone, but the customer imagines what Sherry is like based on what they hear. And when you say the words, may I, how may I help you? May I have the spelling on that last name? May I have the street address? People perceive something about you when they hear, may I? May I says, I'm smart and I'm better educated. Two of those five things we just spoke about. Can I is what an amateur says. How can I help you? Can I have the spelling on that last name? Can I have the street address? Can I sounds like everyone else. If you want to differentiate yourself from the competition, you use may I instead of can I. It takes the same amount of time and the same amount of effort, but it demonstrates something very positive about your organization. Another concept that salespeople, technicians, and dispatchers ought to be thinking about when it comes to interpersonal communication is the fact that a tone of voice, whether it's in person or over the phone, says more than the words or the content than we use. This has even greater emphasis over the telephone because about 80% of what we convey is not the words, it's the tone. Your mom has probably told you in the past, it's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. And that speaks loudly in the business world as well. And the tone of voice is comprised of numerous attributes that people use. Some of those attributes include the articulation that we employ when we use our words or our content. We spoke about the five things earlier, health, intellect, education, assertiveness, and ability to get things done. And when you articulate well, you're conveying something about your energy, about your intellect, and about your education. Because when you articulate well over the phone, people assume you're energetic, you're smarter, and better educated. However, when people hear slurred speech, when they hear a monotone tone of voice, people automatically assume. The monotone voice means they don't have lots of energy. The slurred speech may be perceived as thinking the person is either lazy or tired or not that smart or not too educated. You see, articulation conveys something loudly, not just about you, but about the entire organization. So something to think about when it comes to articulation is consonants and vowels. And here's the simple rule. The purpose of a consonant is to separate the vowels. And here's an easy illustration. If you have a piece of paper and a pen handy, write down four letters, J-E-E-T, and then put a question mark. And what you just wrote is a question sentence. And the question goes like this, Jeet? I'll say it again, Jeet? And what the person is actually asking is, did you eat? However, when you slur your speech, did you eat sounds like Jeet? And that's what happens when the consonants do not separate the vowels. So articulation is also a factor in how you're perceived via the vocal image. Again, they can't see you over the phone, but they imagine all types of scenarios based on what they're hearing over the telephone. The tone of voice also utilizes the vocal melody that we convey when we're speaking with customers. All of our voices have melody. The melody goes up, the melody goes down, and depending on how you use your melody, people will perceive things about you. And here's how the melody works. So if I was taking some information over the phone and conveying something back to someone, I could say something like, yes, the technician should be there at 3. I'll say it again. Yes, the technician should be there at 3. Now, that sentence, it resolves on a downward pitch, at 3. It goes down. If I were to convey the same sentence but change the melody, it would go like this. Yes, the technician will be there at 3. I'll say it again. Yes, the technician should be there at 3. In the second example, my melody resolves upward. It doesn't sound like I'm making a statement. Doesn't it sound like I'm asking a question, or I'm unsure and apprehensive about the subject matter? Your vocal melody demonstrates whether or not you know your subject matter, and customers will sense your lack of authority and your apprehension if they hear your tone of voice resolving on an upward pitch. So we demonstrate our mastery over the subject matter, over our ability to get things done by utilizing the vocal melody to our best advantage when we speak with customers over the phone. Other tactical ideas we can use when working with customers include how to avert the scenario where we can unknowingly imply blame. We've all been there. Without meaning to, blame gets implied. And when blame gets implied, the person who feels like they're being blamed, they feel defensive. When they feel defensive, they get stressed. When they get stressed, the relationship is damaged. And it's this cause and effect chain reaction. And the way to avert not getting there in the first place is to think about word usage. Substituting pronouns makes all the difference. The pronoun you, Y-O-U, is a pronoun that can get us into trouble, and here's how. If you're speaking with a customer who's speaking very lowly, and we can barely hear them over the phone, saying something like, you're speaking very lowly, can you speak up please? That statement can get us into trouble. The word you implies blame. But if we substitute that sentence with something such as, I'm sorry, I am having a difficult time hearing. Now we've substituted the word I in place of the word you. When you substitute I in place of you, you take the emphasis off the other person, you put it on yourself. It's a more neutral pronoun towards getting things done. Another word substitution we can use, instead of using the word you, is substituting the word it. And here's how this may go. We all know customers do silly things from time to time. They might play around with their thermostats. They may try to install a faucet and make a mistake. And when a customer makes a mistake and then they finally call in for help, saying something like, well, you broke it. Well, we hope we would never say something like that. But whenever a customer hears, you broke it, that is a profound blame implication. However, if we were to substitute a benign phrase, such as, it wasn't designed to operate under those conditions, now that changes everything. That's neutral, it doesn't imply any blame, and we're describing the situation without implying any blame on the customer. And all of this is about taking a situation which could be potentially adverse and containing it. The word contain is a key word in problem resolution. Containment, by definition, means to keep a situation within fixed limits. You see, when customers call, they're calling because they have a question or something's wrong. Our job is to make sure things don't get worse. That's what containment is all about. And sales and service professionals are in the job of making sure things don't get worse. And it all starts with how we communicate. And conveying these ideas in a professional manner, it enables us to preventing a situation from exacerbating into something worse and containing it so we can keep it within fixed limits and get things done. And once you've contained a situation and you've built good rapport and established a platform on which you and the customer are communicating well, then it's time to qualify. And you can try to ask questions to understand where the problem lies. It's important to contain before you qualify. And here is why. When a situation isn't contained and we start to ask qualifying questions, that can often get you into trouble. Because if a customer is a little upset when they're trying to convey the problem, regardless of what it is, when they're upset, they're not thinking very rationally. And when you ask qualifying questions to an irrational person, you won't always get the answers that you need to get things done. An irrational person, when they're being asked questions, will use words I call absolute extremes. Absolute extremes are words such as every, all, never, and always. So when someone is upset, you will hear the absolute extremes. Customers will use them. And if you don't contain before you qualify, you will hear customers say things such as, "This thing breaks every time." "It's never worked right." "I always have to call to complain." And you'll hear the absolute extremes. Every, never, always, all. They're exaggerations. They're not the result of rational thinking. Which is why it's important to contain, build rapport, perhaps let the customer vent a little bit. And once you do that and the customer's calmed down, now you can ask some of the qualifying questions that you need to ask so you can get things done. This methodology of containing, qualifying, and correcting problems is very systemic. It's also sequential. There is a sequence here. Contain, qualify, correct. When you contain a problem first, you're doing the things you need to do to keep a problem within fixed limits so it doesn't get worse. So perhaps containing includes some of the things Sherry did when she received that emergency phone call. She employed herself in what is called the split-second response. She paused, took a deep breath, thought rationally about what needed to be done so she could resolve the situation. She listened to the maintenance man's information, and she developed a plan. She did that without getting upset. And when you contain a problem in that fashion, then you can begin to qualify. Now, the technician is the one that's actually going to qualify the problem once he's on site. And he has an easier time doing that if the relationship between the maintenance man and Sherry is intact. Now, what do you think would happen if the technician would arrive on site after the maintenance man had this adverse situation with Sherry? The maintenance man would already have a bias and an attitude about the organization, and he'd probably give the technician a hard time based on that phone call. But because Sherry was well-trained, she knew how to contain and build rapport, now the technician will have an easier time getting things done once he's on site. Having a methodology such as this enables you to build an infrastructure. And this is an infrastructure which changes everyone's behavior in the organization. I have found when companies start to use this methodology, some of their vernacular changes. And I hear them saying things such as, "Have you contained that problem yet? Is that situation qualified?" And people start to use this new terminology within the organization. It moves the entire organization forward towards something constructive. And having these things in place, a sequential, systemic methodology such as contain, qualify, and correct adds up to a world-class service organization. It's not only having the system in place, but it's also thinking about how we can build this greater rapport. And the greater rapport always begins with knowing how to convey a sense of empathy towards the customers that we serve. There are two key words in sales and service that begin with the letter E. And one word is expertise. The other word is empathy. And we all want to have the expertise. We want to convey it to our customers. However, I have found that customers will often give you permission to use your expertise only when they sense you empathize and you really care about their situation. And that is key. Because customers don't often care how much you know until they know how much you care. And building this empathy often begins with letting a customer vent, letting a customer tell their story, and get their information out. You see, customers might be conveying their story to you, and you hear the story 20 times a day. You're an expert. You know what the problems are. You know what the fixes are. And an expert is often encouraged to try to rush towards the solution. But a customer who's venting or telling their story may not know you hear this 20 times a day. And when they hear you interrupt to try to fix the situation, all the customer thinks is, how do you know how to fix it? I haven't told you yet. Customer wants to tell their story. So often we experts, we need to hold back on rushing to the fix and just letting a customer finish their sentences, let them get it out, let them vent. And that part of containment is vital towards building greater rapport with our customers. Another aspect that we need to have in place when it comes to containment is to maintain a high sense of integrity when working with customers by telling the truth. I have found that it's better to disappoint a customer with the truth than to satisfy a customer with a lie. I'll say that again. It's better to disappoint a customer with the truth than to satisfy a customer with a lie. Disappointing with the truth is when we are accurate about when we can get things done. And when we can get things done may not always meet the customer's satisfaction, but it's important to say what you can do rather than what you can't do in relation to these situations. So when a customer wants something done right away, rather than say we can't get there this morning, we should perhaps say we can get there this afternoon. Say what you can do rather than what you can't do. When we say, yeah, we'll try to get there this morning, knowing that you really can't get it done, you're satisfying with a lie. And you have learned that when you satisfy customers with lies, customers are going to call back, they're going to give you a hard time, and a situation which could have been contained is now exacerbated into something worse, only because we did not convey a sense of integrity in the way we get things done. So building this rapport, it's about how we convey our information, our overall message to customers, because customers want to hear the sense that you know what you're doing and you're being precise and accurate and honest in the way you intend to work with them. A program on sales, service, and stress would be incomplete without some research data which would motivate you to want to do the right things for the right reason. As a customer service specialist, I read lots of research relevant to customer satisfaction and sales. And one of the more interesting research studies that I read was entitled Aggravating Circumstances, a study on rudeness in America. And in this study, which was published by an organization called the Public Agenda, they surfaced that among more than 2,000 Americans interviewed, 80% of them think that lack of courtesy is a problem today. So here we are, in the midst of our social environment, 80% of Americans are thinking that lack of courtesy is a problem today. And while this sounds rather negative, this is an opportunity for organizations who want to differentiate themselves from the competition. Because if 80% of Americans think that we are not as courteous as we ought to be, this is an opportunity to demonstrate how courteous we can be, how we can differentiate ourselves from everyone else. And it begins with some of the subject matter we spoke about in this program. Because when customers hear you over the phone and see you in person demonstrating something professional and astute that speaks not only about you, but the entire organization. It impacts the customer's perception, and the customer starts to think you are different and better than everyone else they could be doing business with. So here is an opportunity we can use to leverage our position in the marketplace and demonstrate with our ability that we are the best and that no one does this better than us. And without saying the words, we can demonstrate with our attitude, Mrs. Smith, it's your lucky day because you got us and we're good. Now, we may not use those words because they're cocky, but that is the attitude we can demonstrate with our positive attitude, with our ability to resolve problems, satisfy customers, and get more referrals so we can grow our organizations. Putting the information in this program to best use will be easiest if we understand just a little bit about stress. For sales and service professionals, stress is a real issue. And it's a real issue because sales and service professionals deal with the most unpredictable things on the planet: other people. People are like random events. And if you understand a few things about stress, you already have heard of the fight or flight response, which is a reaction to a potential threat or potential harm. And during the fight or flight response, our neuroendocrine system is motivated to energize us and to enable us to either fight with or run away from this perceived threat. What's interesting about this response is whether there's a real threat, like a wild animal chasing us, or a perceived threat, such as a customer screaming through the phone, our metabolic changes are rather similar. So you might be in your cubicle or at your desk speaking with a customer, and if the customer is yelling, your body is being energized to do something very physical. Your brain is focusing on two key thoughts, and those thoughts are kill it or run away from it. And neither one of those thoughts are very constructive in the world of customer service. So understanding why it's important to use the split-second response, as Sherry did at the beginning of this program, pausing, taking a deep breath, and thinking rationally about what to do, that split-second response enables a person to stay away from some of the adverse effects of stress. And when you can remain calm and be constructive in the midst of those adverse situations, you start off this chain reaction of contain, qualify, and correct. So you can wind up with a positive outcome when you're working with those types of customers. Some practical things to think about relevant to stress and the work that you do is that diet and rest and attitude have an impact on your stress. Diet has an impact because some of the things that you eat and drink, they will affect your stress or your ability to stay calm. For example, some people like coffee, and they'll drink numerous cups of coffee a day, and I have found that caffeine in the coffee can cause your adrenal gland to overproduce and secrete epinephrine. Epinephrine is a hormone which causes your heart to beat faster, it speeds up your rate of breathing, and a person who is stressed out due to this hyper-alertness as a result of the caffeine is right on the edge. This person who is right on the edge doesn't require much incentive to go over the edge if they're handling an adverse situation. So just thinking about and moderating some of the coffee that you might be drinking can impact some of your stress level. Some of the snacks that you might eat, you know, candy, chocolate, other snacks, they can also impact your stress. Think about more vegetables, more fresh fruits as constructive snacks to consume in the course of a day. Something as simple as the banana is a very constructive snack in that the banana has lots of fiber, lots of vitamins, lots of potassium, but it also includes an essential amino acid called tryptophan. Tryptophan, when it's ingested, is converted into serotonin. Serotonin is prescribed by doctors to patients who lack mental clarity. Serotonin has a calming effect on our overall demeanor. You get that from something as simple as a banana. So you get the idea? What you're drinking, what you're eating can also affect some of your stress level. Your attitude is also affected by your stress based on what you're thinking about. And we all engage ourselves in some talk that we call self-talk. This is when we talk to ourselves. You might be doing it in the truck on the way to a job. You might do it on the way to work in the morning. Most people talk to themselves. And what you say to yourself is vital. Because after a tough day at work, you may do that thing where you're in your car driving home and you're replaying some of the day's bad experiences. And that's when you're engaged in negative self-talk. I urge sales and service professionals to engage themselves in positive self-talk. The easiest way to begin positive self-talk is just to stop and smile. When you find yourself engaged in this negative self-talk, smiling changes your attitude. And here's why. The muscles in the face are more than just a reflection of our feelings. The muscles in the face can change the way you feel. When you stop and smile, the muscles in the face cause an endorphin release. This is an endorphin that makes us feel more euphoric and more positive. This positive attitude as a result of the smile then changes some of our thoughts. So when you are driving home from work, replaying some of those bad experiences that you might have encountered during the day, stop, smile, and watch your thoughts start to change. And here's another way you can affect the overall stress that you might be experiencing. So as I conclude this program, I urge you to take these tactical ideas and start to use them today. It takes about 3 weeks to begin a new habit. So if you start doing something new today, you are 3 weeks away from taking these improved tactical ideas and making them part of your overall behavior. I thank you for making the time to listen to this program. This is Steve Kasha. You have my best wishes for much success during your encounters with sales, service, and stress.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. If you're interested in running a very profitable business, you might want to consider attending Grandy & Associates' 3-day Basic Business Bootcamp and or purchasing our industry-leading performance-based software program called ProfitMax. For more information on either of these programs, simply call Grandy & Associates at 1-800-432-7963 or check us out on the web. Again, the address is www.grandyassociates.com. A small investment in training can produce big profits. The Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.